What was your Christmas number one tune when you were born? Do you remember?
Christmas number one.
What was Christmas number one when you were
born? I don't know. I know that the number one song when I was born was the Bay City Rollers, apparently, according to my mother. But I don't know what the Christmas number one was.
I can't remember if it was the Christmas number one. But
do you want me to find it?
No, it's fine, because I fucked it up anyway. Let's start that one again.
Right, go.
See, sometimes I fuck up and it makes the joke better. Better than the actual story I'm going to say.
On you go.
What was number one when you were born? What song?
Right, I know this one. It was the Bay City Rollers and Bye Bye Baby.
Bye
there you go.
Bye Baby, don't that's... be shy.
I didn't think that's the words, mate, but never mind.
I make up one.
Right, on you go.
Well, mine's was Last Christmas. No, it wasn't Last Christmas. Fuck, I didn't care what it is.
You've really thought about this one, mate.
I know. I've tried to tee it up good and it's just fucked up.
Does it have anything to do with Christmas whatsoever?
Well, yeah, but I was going more on the band and I fucked it up because it's the wrong tune. It was number one. I can't even remember the tune.
For fuck's sake.
Right. Right, a bit of a strange one here. Radio DJ proves her turn off with listeners after playing Wham! Classic Last Christmas 24 times in a row.
Okay.
The disc jockey has been punished. Oh fuck it, I'm not even doing this anymore. can we get through?
Just gear up.
I'm geared up with that one. Right, what's the next one?
Oh dear.
I'm not doing that one because it's shit.
I think we'll just leave it at that, mate.
Oh.
You can try your dish jockey one for the next point. Right.
Oh, I've deleted it. It's gone. Right. I'll do this one here.
Oh, dear.
Folks, and I suppose it's a happy new year from the iReady podcast. How are you, Dave, tonight?
I'm very well. I didn't realise that this was, I suppose it will be the first of 2016. It just shows you how long it's been since we last recorded.
Exactly. I mean, but I think it was about the 27th of November the last time.
Oh, my God. Right. That means we've got a hell of a lot to get through, mate.
11 games.
Oh, dearie dear. Right, okay.
My voice is a wee bit croaky because I've been speaking all day, so we'll get through it anyway. So
there's nothing new there, then, eh?
No, definitely. So
right, you're going to have to get your DeLorean out like Marty McFly again and take us back in time.
I'm glad you said bloody DeLorean there.
Exactly.
Right. Dirty boy.
I don't know what you call yours, mate, but
my mate used to call his rather weirdly Derek.
Really?
Aye.
I didn't want to go. I don't want to know how close you were to that, mate, Derek. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
I wasn't close to his Derek, no.
Hey, on you go.
Yes, we will batter on and we will go down the tunnel and onto the pitch.
Right.
Where do
we start?
Exactly. We're not going to really cover the games in great depth, to be honest, because there's just that many. We've got other news to cover as well.
Yep.
So
right, on you go, mate.
First game, Saturday the 28th of November, 4-0 home win at home. to St Mirren in the Petrick Fat Cup semi-final.
Yes.
Do you remember much about it?
I do, yes.
Good, you can go on.
All right then, I don't.
Called your bluff.
Aye, exactly.
Yes, so Holt scored in the 34th, Miller 77th, Wycorn in the 84th, and there was an OG from St Mirren. I've just put OG, must have been about the 90th minute odd. And that made us progress through to the final against Peterhead at Hampden, which caused a bit of controversy to the you-know-who.
Yep.
That's getting played on...
April the 10th, which is your truly's birthday.
Really?
Yes.
Brilliant. Ken, where am I on that day?
Where?
I'm in New York.
Really?
So I've already contacted the Big Apple Bears and they've said I'm welcome to come along.
Oh, that's fantastic, mate. Well, so, as I say, it's my birthday. I am off, so I will be doing my best to try and get a ticket for me and the wee man for that one, because I think that'll be a fantastic day. And touch wood, it'll be the first bit of silverware that Mr. Warburton will lift. Yes. Here's hoping it's the first of many.
Hopefully it's the only ever time we'll lift the Petrified Cup again.
Exactly. Here's hoping it's the last time that we'll be playing in that competition. So, but yes. I'd like to win it, Derek, just for... I'm not going to say novelty value, but we like to win every competition that we're in, and we've certainly got a fantastic chance of winning that one. So here's hope they do it on there. And really, no disrespect to Peterhead, there should be no excuses, especially the fact that it'll be at Hampden. I reckon there'll be at least sort of 30,000 Rangers fans there if we're, you know, if we're allocated more, you know, the most of the tickets and stuff like that. So there should be no excuse for us, and I'm just hoping for a good game and a good solid performance, and of course a victory.
Yes, of course. So I'm moving on to the next game, Tuesday the 1st of December, another 4-0 win at home to Dumbarton in the Championship this time. It was Holt 47, Wycorn 60, Adua 81. Dumbarton got a guy sent off on the 87th for his second yellow, and Halliday converted the penalty on the 88th. Strangely, at half time, part of the what Rangers called the fabric of the Sandy Jardine stand, the roof, came loose at half time due to the wind. Fans were moved to the Broomland stand. The game was delayed by about 5 minutes. Somebody from the Unwashed on Twitter claimed that we had segregated the Syrian refugees in Ibrox.
Yeah, I heard that. But as I say, Derek, these things really don't surprise me. There's a lot of wind-up merchants out there that just want to cause bother, and Twitter and Facebook are fantastic ways of doing the spreading mischief. So really, we knew that it would just be a bit of troublemaking there, and we knew not to take any of it seriously.
Yeah. Into the game, Halliday actually came out after it and said that it's the first time that the gaffers came out and totally ripped into them at half time, which was good to see.
Yep,
needed the hair dye treatment sometimes.
Yes.
So. And rather comically, after the game as well, Fotheringham and Rob Kiernan share a flat, and they managed to lock themselves out of their house after the game. Kiernan actually had to climb through an open window that he had left open.
A window or something like that. Is that, am I right in saying that, or was that what he was talking about, the fact that they were going to have to climb through a window or something? I seem to remember a picture or something getting posted up, but I don't know if that was right or not.
Well, you cut out there and I just said that, so...
sorry, mate.
That's getting kept in.
All right, then.
We didn't go back in time there.
Right, on you go.
Yep, Saturday the 12th of December, a disappointing 2-each draw at home to Morton, again in the Championship. Miller scored in the second minute. We thought, yes, here we go again, another 4-0. And then Taverney scored an OG in the 31st minute to make it 1-each. It was a rather strange one. It was, you know, almost as if he was looking to score into his own net there.
Yeah, and I think it's... Fotheringham had a bit of a nightmare game that game, because I'm sure the second goal that he let in was a really, you know, really, really poor goalkeeping for his standards, because he's been a, you know, a safe pair of hands for us, but I think he had a bit of a nightmare in that game.
Yeah. Morton did go 2-1 up on the 82nd minute. We hit right back with Wycorn though in the 84th minute. So, disappointing to drop a couple of points, but no, the end of the world, and
yeah,
what a tough team anyway. So,
yeah,
Yep. Even more disappointing, though, was the next game. Saturday the 19th of December, it was a 2-1 loss away to Falkirk in the Championship. Falkirk scored a penalty in the third minute. Now, bit of controversy, yep, because...
Derek, it was absolutely ridiculous, the fact that that penalty got awarded, because he wasn't even close to the box when the tackle was made. And even when the player fell down, it still looked as if he was, you know, on the edge of the box when he landed. But it clearly showed in the replays that it was, you know, at least, you know, 2 or 3 feet outside the box that the tackle was made. Absolutely ridiculous. They should never have got the penalty in that game, but they did, and they scored it. So it was a shocking decision, in my opinion. But, you know, my feelings against that team, they're not exactly one of my favourites, so I was absolutely raging when I saw that the penalty had been given for that. I don't know what your feelings about it was.
Yeah, it's just, there's sometimes you can get dubious decisions against you, and you know, you just kind of take it sometimes, but that was just clear as day. I mean, what was the linesman as well? That's what we want to know. The linesman was on that, well, was on the faraway side, should have been keeping up with it, and should have been in a better place to see it. You know, where was the linesman in that as well? Just a scandalous decision.
It was terrible, and as I say, I was really totally pissed off, and I was getting it tight, fellow people that I know that are Falkirk fans and stuff, and somebody actually found a picture on Facebook, and it actually showed the box, and then somebody had basically extended the box out at that stage, and it looked ridiculous, and that was the sort of picture that I had posted up, just to say, aye, we were cheated out of that one and stuff. But it was a shocking decision.
Yep. Falkirk went 2-1 up on the 55th minute. They actually hit the post right after that, and then forced another amazing save from Fotheringham. So they could have been 3 or 4 up, to be honest. Wasn't their best game at all. Waghorn did get he missed a penalty late on in the game, but it was a very dubious decision anyway. It was a handball in the box, but it kind of played them, and I don't think it was changing the direction of the bottle anyway. So,
no.
You know, that was Willie Collum for you, who... unbelievably, he's allegedly Scotland's best, and he's actually been assigned games in Euro 2016.
Yeah, it was a shocking decision. Like I said, there was a lot of dodgy decisions in that game as well, which are really, you know, it was shocking, but really disappointed that we lost that one, and the fact that Waghorn did have the chance to even get a point and we missed that as well just showed that we weren't really up for it that game. We were quite poor in a lot of the passages of play in that match, which is, you know, it's no like us to be like that. But Derek, we keep saying it, we didn't want to make excuses. It's a plastic pitch, but as I've said before, I've stood on that pitch before, and it is basically just like playing on grass, so I didn't really see what the pitch has got to do with it. Just a poor performance and, you know, a really shocking decision by the referee, and, you know, we end up getting beat. So it was a bit of a setback, but thankfully not too much a setback.
Yep. So we'll move on for that one, and this was a lot of people deemed a big crunch game for Rangers. I can't remember the points difference at the time, but, you know, it could have been a difference. You know, I think we're going to, you know, go a point behind or level in points. I can't remember exactly, but it was on Monday the 28th of December. It was at home to Hibs, and we thrashed them 4-2. And I know it was 4-2 and I said thrash, but we really did. We did.
I think, as you say, you were talking about the gaffer, going through everybody at half-time. I think he must have had everybody really wound up. But I just the one thing I will say, I'm going to be speaking about the Daily Record later on, but I will say about the Daily Record, they really did help Rangers there, because, you know, they were really bigging up Alan Stubbs at that point, how well Hibs had been playing and how this was their chance to, you know, go level on points, whereas I think it was, and get them back in the title race, and there wasn't a lot said about Rangers, so I actually think that the media had done us a wee favour there, because I think it really got our players, you know, really up for the match, and they showed that they were really, you know, it was really high-paced, high-tempo, we were right at them right from the beginning. And I know that Hibs took the lead first, but you know, we were really we're right up for it. Even after that, we were getting stuck right in, and some of the passage of play was excellent.
Yeah, I mean, just on the Daily Record, there is Stubbs was up to his usual mind games, which was never going to work. Warburton actually came out before the game and said he was more worried about getting his wife's Christmas presents, which is brilliant. The guy put the guy in front of a camera or a microphone, he comes away with
He's as cool as a cucumber, and he's very comfortable on the when he's on. I saw him on Sky Sports News not too long ago, and he was absolutely brilliant as well, the way he was talking to them all as that. So as you say, that was a classic line there that everybody will remember for a long time, and as you say, put Stubbs right in his place. It was brilliant.
Yep. One special mention to Peter Lovenkranz and Tom Commentator for the commentary. Absolutely unbelievable. And Lovenkranz was actually screaming like Peter Martin when the goals went in.
Is that right?
He was superb. Especially,
that's excellent.
Especially the last goal, which we'll get to. But anyway, as you said, Cummins did score in the 23rd minute, and we thought, here we go, it's another one of these games. But we were probably the better team in that point, and
yep,
we kept on playing very well and very good football throughout the game. Holt drew level in the 33rd minute, and then he put us 2-1 ahead on the 43rd minute just before half time. And at the second half, Nicky Clark got a great goal, and then more controversy for Rangers is Halliday got a red card on the 70th minute. Basically, there was a bit of needle between a challenge between Halliday and Fraser Fivey. Can't even say his name. Fivey. And basically, Fivey went down as if he had been hit in the head by a headbutt from Halliday.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously it seemed it's been vindicated that Halliday never done anything, because his red card was put down to a yellow and Fivey was given a 2-game ban for play acting.
Surely that's just going to be a one-off, that Halliday's been sent off for something that actually didn't do. Oh no, wait, that we'll get into that again later on. I forgot about that.
So after that, the Hibs did draw one back, but it was really out of nothing. The game was, you know.
Yep.
We thought, oh, here we go, it's kind of 3-2, is it going to be dodgy? But no, Wycorn scored an absolute peach of a goal in the
18th minute. Great goal.
Basically ran from the halfway line, just about the full way with the ball. 18-yard line, had a great shot past the keeper. Fantastic goal.
It was a brilliant goal, it really was.
That's the one where Lovenkranz went absolutely ballistic at. It was amazing.
Clark makes a supporting run. Wycorn chance to drive it, Fraser Fifey. The step over, Martin Wycorn.
He's done it!
Martin Wycorn!
Yeah!
Scores Rangers 2-goal advantage. Rangers 4, Hibernian 2. 90 minutes on the clock.
That's quality. Just on that note, Derek, up until that point, how well was Jason Holt playing in those games? I mean, the fact that we signed that guy for $65,000, he's been absolutely sensational for us. He really has been in the. You know, he seems to get better and better, and it's proved that in the last few games that he's not been playing because he's injured, that we've really missed him.
Yep.
Because he's been absolutely sensational. We went on about Tavernier and Wycorn, how great that they've been, but really, I think that Holt's shading it so far from a player of the season. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I mean, certainly we've missed him when he's not been there. Which
aye, he's been fantastic.
So it's kind of the driving horse in midfield, which was
good.
Next game we've got Saturday the 2nd of January. It was a 6-0 win away to Dumbarton.
Yep.
And obviously, being the 2nd of January, we held a minute's silence for the Ibrox disaster. Impeccably.
Yes.
Observed as usual.
Yep, yeah, fantastic. And they also had the Loving Cup ceremony. Which was
no, that was the next game.
Oh, is that the next game, mate? Sorry, no. Right, okay, you can edit that bit out.
I'll stop you right there.
Oh, aye, it was because it was at home.
Aye,
that's right,
aye,
it was at home,
right.
So it was. Aye, you're quite right. That was my mistake. Aye. There.
Know your history, man.
I don't know, is it not another team that sings that song?
Oh, aye.
Aye, you better not say that.
Yes, so Miller was absolutely on fire, scored a hat-trick. He got one in the 42nd, 59th and 64th minute. You know, say what you want about the guy, but, you know, he's never stopped trying for the club. I know his legs are not quite the same, but he's always working, which is great to see for the age he is.
He is the professional player in the team, Derek. His hold-up play and everyone's excellent. And as I say, I was at the last game there, the last home game against Falkirk, and I would have said that he was by far, head and shoulders, our best player. I thought he was excellent when the rest of the team were really struggling. So, as you say, he's maybe not as fast as he was, but he's still got, you know, the brain there, and he's hold up playing everything for Rangers is excellent now. So, you know, he certainly you can't say that he doesn't deserve to be in the team.
No, certainly not. Waghorn scored on the 71st, Halliday in the 81st, and Taverney on the 88th. So,
yep.
Rounded out a very, very good win.
Yeah, excellent victory, especially away from home as well.
Yep. Next game, Sunday the 10th of January, 5-1 win at home to Cowdenbeath.
Yep.
And what cup was held? What ceremony was held?
I think it was the Loving Cup, Derek.
Yes, it was. I never realised the full history behind that. You know, I was looking into it when the game was going on, and it's, mm-hmm. it's fascinating to see the whole history behind the whole Loving Cup thing. I mean, I think it's the only. I think there was about 30 Loving Cups actually made.
Yeah,
I think it's the only one that's still in existence.
Is that right? Yeah.
If it's not the only one in existence, it's the only. We're the only team to still carry out the tradition.
Right. Okay.
Which is brilliant.
It was good, didn't they? And they mentioned Donald Finlay as well, because I sat and watched it, because they had it recorded. And I sat and watched it, and it was a wee comment to say that they were happy to see Donald Finlay back, especially for the ceremony and all that. So it was a good wee touch, you know. Don't know what you're talking about. Allegedly.
Yes, as I said, 5-1. Wallace in the 19th, Mackay in the 33rd. Cowdenbeath got one back on the 40th minute, and then a hat-trick for Waghorn on the 48th minute, a penalty in the 55th, and another penalty in the 78th. And yep. As usual, the typical, you know, the unwashed brigade again on Twitter saying, okay, bloody cheating bastards, penalties again. So,
you know. Well, the one that I heard, Derek, which I was really, I was laughing at that, I thought was hilarious, and this was not a Celtic fan, but a Falkirk fan, because, as I say, they're just as bad, just a much smaller number. And basically their theory, well, it's not a theory, it's true, according to them, is that the SFA and the SPL have basically told the referees in the Championship to give Rangers as many penalties as possible, because they can't afford for them not to be in the Premier League again for another season. So that's their theory, and they're sticking to it.
Mm-hmm.
Not the fact that we're actually in the opponent's penalty area more than in any other team, and the players, you know, are getting brought down, and it's the fact that we are actually earning these penalties, and it's justified. It's the fact that it's all down to money, and they can't afford for Rangers not to be in the Championship, so we're getting these penalties regardless, and every referee has been put under pressure by the SFA.
Well, we should have bloody told Willie Collum that in the bloody Falkirk game, then.
Exactly. That was the first thing I said. I says, so if you're getting all these penalties and decisions, I says, what the hell was that all about? But aye, so that was the one I heard. But you've really got to laugh, eh? It's incredible. But that was the latest theory that I heard anyway.
I think Celtic fans should be more aware than anybody that even though you get a penalty, you've still got to score it.
Exactly. But that's what I heard. But going back to the game again, another solid performance at home. And after the wee blip that they had, drawing the game, getting beat by Falkirk, it looked as if we were back on track, and everybody had a wee sort of spring in their step again, and confidence was sky high. So, you know, it's brilliant to see.
Yep. That was in the fourth round of the Scottish Cup, and we are drawn against Kilmarnock at home in the fifth round, and it's played, that's our next game, fully enough.
Yep, this Saturday, so it's going to be a harder test. Premier League team, Kilmarnock aren't playing that well at this moment, but, you know, we said the same thing about St Johnstone, Derek. and St Johnson, you know, played really, really well against us. And so I'm not taking anything for granted at all. I just hope that we learn from our mistakes the last time we played a Premier League team and we go out and we get a good performance and the result as well. I don't know if Holt will be back for that game. I really hope he is, because we definitely miss him in the team.
Yeah, I just want us to win just to get that mad raving Kilmarnock fan on Facebook again. He's brilliant.
He's a bit of a star now. Oh. I think he's been brilliant. He's hilarious.
This is garbage. It's not even junior football. Yesterday was amateur football. And every fan will agree with me. He might not like me. And by the way, see that wee bus journey that stoked off and they made that song? Fucking brilliant. Quality, lads. Fucking quality. A wee bit of banter, because that's what we need. But Gary, come on, son. You can't cut the mustard. You've no go at it. Come on. And use it the board. Get a grip! Because he's no nothing about football! Nothing! Because you should have done something! Fucking do something now! Act! Ah, you fucking bastards!
Yes, but in typical fashion, I'm at my cousin's wedding when it's going on, so I think it'll be trying to... The wedding doesn't start until 2 o'clock, but obviously you've got preparation and travel, so I'll be trying to get that on my phone like a
bit. On my phone, aye, definitely, because like I told you, that when we played Falkirk at Ibrox the last time, I was at a wedding and I managed to get Wi-Fi in the venue that we were in, and I had my phone inside my sporran because I had my kilt on, and we were sitting down and I was able to watch the whole match and nobody seen me whatsoever, and I could watch the whole match on my phone, so it was great. So you're going to hate to do the same thing, mate.
I've gone proper staunch though. I bought a new suit.
Oh, did you?
Blue suit, red tie, white shirt.
Quality, mate. That's excellent. Brilliant. See, you're looking just like a bar scarf then, is that what you're trying to tell me?
Pretty much, aye.
Superb.
Or a prat.
I didn't want to say that.
So, moving on to the next game, we were on Saturday the 16th of January, 4-1 win at home to Livingston in the Championship. Just as a wee aside before the game started, I read a story, I don't know if you've read the same thing, Dave, that a group of Rangers fans were travelling on their bus and they actually broke down when they were on the way to a game, and a passing taxi decided to stop and help out. Turned out it was Chick Charnley.
Chick Charnley, as an ex-Partick Thistle and...
Celtic.
Did he play for Celtic or did he just play for them as in friendly matches and stuff like that? Did he actually play for Celtic?
I'm not too sure. I've never looked that up.
I know he's Celtic daft. Yeah. He maybe did. He maybe played one season. I know that he used to always, any charity matches and friendlies, he just used to turn up, I think, to the dressing room and get a game for them. But aye, that was a good touch by Chick. One of the people in the world, he was obviously needing the cash, I think.
I think so. So, yes, as I said, 4-1, Wilson scored in the 8th minute, Wycorn another penalty in the 22nd, Miller again on the 35th, Wycorn round our score now on the 41st minute. So 4-0 up at half time, which was great. We thought, right, it's going to be an absolute rout, but second half was a wee bit more subdued. Livy scored in the 55th minute. You know, not going to take anything away. Still good performance all round.
Exactly, yeah. No, excellent, and a good result as well. So that's, as I say, the confidence was sky high at that point, and, you know, we really looked as if we were, you know, any team we were playing with, you know, we're going to go out and score quite a few goals. So, no, I was really pleased at that one as well.
Yep. Next game, Monday the 25th of January, 2-0 away win to Morton in the Championship. Went Miller, 26th minute, and Mackay on the 17th minute.
Yep.
And as Dave said before, Halliday got sent off for probably the most stupidest thing I've ever seen in my puff.
Yep.
Basically, in the middle of the half, raised his fist up, looked at the Morton fans, looked at our fans, referee deemed that he made a gesture to them.
I'm hearing different things, and what We heard, I can't remember if it was the heading into work and they had the super school board, the Clyde phone in, which is always a good laugh to hear all the Celtic fans coming on to talk about Rangers. But according to them, it was the linesman that spotted it, told the referee, and the referee booked him. It was his second booking and he was off. It was ridiculous, Derek. Rangers scored the goal. He sort of stood in the middle of the pitch. He wasn't near any set of supporters and he put his fist up in the air as if to say, yes, get in there. And that was deemed that he was inciting the home fans and it could have caused problems and they got yellow carded for it. It was absolutely ridiculous. It goes on to the ridiculous bookings of when Paul Gascoigne picked up the referee's yellow card and showed him it and ended up getting booked for it. It goes back to all these absolutely ridiculous things. And again, that's the second time that Halliday's been sent off for, you know, something really bad. The first one was bad enough where the referee thought that he had made contact and the player, when the player, you know, looked as if he'd been headbutted when he hadn't been. But that was ridiculous. We couldn't appeal it, Derek, because it was a second yellow card and just an absolute farce. But as I say, it's been highlighted so many times. I just hope the linesman hangs her head in shame after that one, because it really was pathetic.
Yep. I mean, as it's been pointed out, is if by the rule book, going by the rule book, is if the referee thought he was inciting something, then it should have been an automatic red card, not another yellow. So what I don't, does a referee show leniency there? Has he got his facts right in relation to it?
I don't know.
I mean, there's so much unknown stuff that it
was pathetic. It really was. And the only saving grace for us was it didn't alter the victory for us. It didn't do anything to stop us from getting the victory. That's about the only good thing about it, was that we had the game wrapped up by that point and we were able to just play out the rest of the game with 10 men. But if something like that had happened and it was still 0-0, that would have been, you know, major. And, you know, we probably wouldn't have scored after that, because everybody was so pissed off after it in the team. And you could just see that the tempo, you know, stopped because everybody was so annoyed. You know, the whole team was annoyed about it. And Halliday was completely, you know, he was totally, you could see it on his face. He couldn't believe what had happened, you know, absolutely ridiculous. And as I say, we couldn't do anything about it. We couldn't get it. We couldn't appeal it or anything. He'd just sit out the next game, which was scandalous.
Yeah. I mean, there's not much more we can say about that, is
no,
it? It's just,
no,
it
it's was made, ridiculous.
It's once again, it's made Scottish football the laughing stock. Really has. And it's kind of went national, didn't it? You know, the whole thing. So.
Aye. It was ridiculous. And the good thing was, it did get a lot of press, especially on Sky and stuff like that, where they showed how ridiculous it was as well. So, here's hoping that nothing like that happens again, because it was just shocking.
Yeah. There was a wee bit of hilarity though at half time. I don't know if you've seen this. It was BT Sport were covering the game, and obviously they do their kind of pitch side thing.
I know what you're going to say.
Stubbs and Boyd were the. I don't know why they keep getting Stubbs, by the way. But anyway, they were both down trackside speaking to the interviewer, and there was a shout from the crowd.
And, you know, it'll give them a little bit of confidence to come out in the second half and, you know, and take the game more to Rangers.
Apologies if you heard any bad language around our cameras. Our apologies. Some of the fans are very close by to us. But
Stubbs, you're talking shite.
And Chris Boyd burst out laughing at the same time. Well, Derek, what, you're saying that about Alan Stubbs. You had, I, as you know, was heading out to work, so I only got to see the first half of that game. So I was listening to the game on Radio Scotland as I was driving in, and we had Alan Stubbs as one of the pundits, who is the manager of the team who are in second place. And on the radio, Peter Houston was doing the co-commentating, who is the manager of the third team in Scotland. So I find that strange, you know, that they would get two rival managers on our matches, I find that really, really strange. And you could tell that Stubbs really, he couldn't put any praise on us at all, really. You know, he was really quite tight-lipped about, you know, giving us any kind of praise or, you know, how we played or anything like that. So, it's a bit of a strange one, the fact that they keep getting these guys on, because they're certainly, you can't say that they're no going to be unbiased against us, you know, because they're the managers of the clubs that are the closest to us in the league. So a strange one. I don't see how they can really do that. But as you say, Stubbs has been a pundit on a couple of our games now on the TV. He's certainly not got a face for TV. He'd be better on the radio, I think.
Certainly. Next game we've got is Saturday the 30th of January at home to Falkirk in the Championship. Dave, you were at the game, but yep. I can really sum it up in one phrase. King Billy on the 16th hour of the day on the 90th minute of the game.
That's right, and thank God for that, because we really didn't look as if we were going to score at all in that game, Derek. It didn't look like the Rangers team that had been the last few games. Now, I will make an excuse. You know, the one player in the Rangers squad that I really don't have a lot of time for, and that's Nicky Law. He was in because Andy Halliday obviously had to miss that game. And Dean Shields, who I think is better coming on as a substitute, he was brought into midfield as well for Jason Hole, who was out also. Zelalem was on the bench. He didn't play, but we did have new signing Billy King on the bench. But Rangers just didn't. They weren't at the races, Derek. Falkirk were quite happy. They had one chance in the first half, Falkirk. That was a header. Rangers, I think, Tavernier hit a shot which their goalkeeper saved a sort of narrow angle, and that was really all we did. They were desperate to get onto the byline, Rangers. They kept playing for the byline all the time. The players were either overrunning the ball, they were mispassing. The amount of times that Waghorn had space and for him to run in and he fell over the ball, he overhit it, or he's crossing and stuff. Everybody just looked completely, all over the place, Derek. And it was the only player that looked as if he had a bit of composure about him was Kenny Miller. Kenny Miller would pick the ball up and he was able to keep it while everybody was moving about, because even the movement wasn't great. It was just they just looked out of sorts, Derek. It was just like, it was strange. It was like watching a different team. And I was quite disappointed by watching them. They had a lot of the ball, but they were struggling. Falkirk did play a defensive game, but in the second half, Falkirk had a couple of really good chances. And I've got to say, Tavernier defensively was excellent, but going forward they looked completely lost. But there was a couple of good clearing headers for him. The one player I will say, Derek, that I thought played quite well, and he has had a lot of stick since he's came back to us, was Danny Wilson. I thought he had a really good game against Falkirk. He looked solid, he looked good in the air as well. So it's good to see him maybe starting to, play his potential, because we all know that he can be a really good player, but he did have a good game. And as I say, Billy King came on, he got a huge reception when he came on, and thank fuck, scored right at the end of the game, for us to win 1-0. And I was sitting in the family section, and for me, living in Falkirk and knowing a lot of the Falkirk fans, to see them as sick as parrots when we scored at the end, that was the best bit of the day for me.
Yeah, it was fantastic. I was screaming and shouting at the computer. It was fantastic. Yep. Great reaction. And, sometimes winning with a last-minute goal like that, when you thought nothing was, we weren't going to get anything, is the best way to win it. It was brilliant.
That's right, yeah.
James Tavernier pops it in. King!
Very excited, Tom Miller.
And just on what you were saying about Wilson, I thought Kiernan had his best game as well.
Really? There's been a lot of people I have... I like hearing or seeing people's reactions and thoughts about players and stuff, and Kiernan has actually been getting a lot of positive feedback, especially on Twitter and Facebook and stuff, with people who have been quite impressed. So I think maybe the two of them, that, you know, that's them, they've played more than half a season together, they're finally, you know, gelling better, you know, as a defensive unit. So long may that continue, Derek, because they have been playing well. And to be fair to Fodringham as well, who I'm still not convinced about, he pulled off a couple of great saves against Falkirk as well, sort of saves that, you know, could easily have been a goal. So defensively, a lot better, but, you know, they were just all, you know, they were all over the place as an attacking force, which isn't like them. And, you know, I think it just went down as a blip, because certainly in the next game, the last game there, Rangers in the first half were absolutely outstanding.
Yep, brilliant. Next game was the last game we played, Tuesday the 2nd of February. It was a 1-0 win away to Raith Rovers in the Championship. Halliday scored that goal on his comeback on the 44th minute, and it was the only goal of the game. And to be honest, it was one of these games where we just dominated the whole thing. I don't think Raith had... I think they had one chance in the second half, and that was it. We bossed the game the full way. We just couldn't break down their tight defence. It was pretty much, you know, backs against the wall all the time.
Yeah, Waghorn could easily have had a hat-trick in the first half. Andy Halliday hit the post with a free kick. You know, they were all over them. And as I said to you, I was listening to the match on the radio. Derek Ferguson came on at half-time just to give us his sort of summary, and I think he used the word cultured at least six times during every player that he spoke about was cultured, and the performance by Rangers was cultured. I think, I don't know if he had a bet he had to use that word as much as possible or not, I don't know, but he just kept saying the word cultured all the time. So it certainly sounded as if we were absolutely annihilating them, but then in the second half, I don't know what happened, Derek, if again they switched off or whatever, I don't know, but certainly going by the performance in the first half, it was encouraging, the fact that we weren't that great against Falkirk, but as you say, it's still a 1-0 victory and we'll take the 3 points.
Yep. So, it leaves us in the table, played 23, won 19, drew 2, lost 2, 465 against 16, goal difference of plus 49 on 59 points. We're 8 points ahead of Hibs, who have a game in hand, and we're 13 ahead of third place Falkirk, so it's pretty sure to say Falkirk are out the running now. Hibs, depending on what happens with this game in hand they've got, you know, we could be sitting pretty there.
Yeah, it's certainly encouraging, Derek, in the fact that even when we're not playing well, we're still grinding out results. And the one encouraging thing, as you said about the Falkirk game, we weren't playing well, but we kept going right to the end, and we got the goal at the end. So really encouraging as well that we've still got that sort of never-say-die attitude at the moment. So we can't complain.
Yep, brilliant. So it leaves us and the... Next games are, as I said, Saturday the 6th of February at home to Killie in the Scottish Cup 5th round. Mm-hmm. And a weird twist of fate, Big Jig is going to be their gaffer.
That's right, yeah.
Yep.
Hopefully he'll have a bit of a nightmare and Rangers will win.
Yeah, I've 7-1 to Rangers then.
No, I think that'd be the fact if he was playing, mate, but I don't think he won't be.
Aye, to Killie, you mean? No, he was a good servant, so can't fault him there.
Definitely, and I'm sure he'll get an incredible ovation when he's there. All the Rangers fans will definitely be cheering him on there, and we do wish him all the best, although I'm seeing that Billy Davis is the favourite for the Killie job there, so we'll just have to wait and see what happens. But you never know, he might get kept on as coaching staff or whatever, because I know he was getting all his coaching badges and stuff, so yeah. Wait and see.
The plus side, you might get free trips to Kilmarnock.
I think I would only be taking that next season, mate, if it, you know, the twice that we play them. But we'll wait and see. I would definitely be keeping my contact up there if it meant me getting a free ticket for the Rangers games. So.
Next game we'd after that is Saturday the 13th of February away to Alloa in the Championship. Sunday the 21st away to Queen of the South in the Championship, and to round out February, Saturday the 27th of February at home to St Mirren in the Championship.
Yep.
So, good sporting weekend. We've got Killy, and then we've got the Super Bowl on Sunday night.
That's right, yes. Nice. It'll be excellent. It's not that I've got any affiliation to any of the teams in the Super Bowl, but it's always good to see.
Yep. Brilliant, and it'll be a hard day at work on Monday.
Not for me, because I'm night shift on the Sunday night, mate. But as I say, we're ensuring steps to make sure that we didn't miss it. So we'll be looking forward to that one.
Yes. So we'll move on now, and we'll go into the Blue Room.
I'm sure you've already heard that the result was 85%.
So yeah! Yeah! Yeah!
So, I mean, absolutely.
I love you. How about your means?
Right, there's a good few bits and pieces to kind of go over here, so I'm going to try and cover them. Well, again, some of it is legal things, so I'm not going to go in too much, but
yes,
as everyone's aware by now, obviously there's ongoing court cases with Sports Direct, Mike Ashley, MASH, whatever the fuck I'm wanting to call himself, cunts. allegedly.
Aye, exactly.
No, they just are cunts. We need to go all the way back to just about basically the last day we recorded, effectively, the AGM on Friday the 27th of November. What a difference in venue, wasn't it?
Oh, definitely. Compared to the gazebo that they put up inside Ibrox to try and save money for them to go to an actual, an event. A place that can hold a large event was, as you say, it was like night and day.
Yeah, absolutely. So it was largely positive. Couldn't go into too much detail about the Sports Direct deals, obviously due to the gagging order. And I don't think the board were either. They were either not sure what they could or couldn't say, or they just were playing it ultra safe and just not saying anything. But anyway, there was a resolution that was coming up about voting rights for dual ownership to be taken off. It basically meant if the Rangers tried to pass a law, a resolution that meant if a shareholder has got controlling interest in another club, they weren't allowed to vote in Rangers.
Yep.
Mike Ashley went to court and they got that basically suspended.
Yes.
Surprise, surprise. So
yep.
It was a way of forcing Ashley out, and he got that suspended.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go into a bit in a minute about that, but that was a bit of a downside there.
Yes.
From the AGM, we are now basically getting two fingers up to Celtic and we're adopting the living wage.
Yes, I've seen that, which is great news for all the staff and everybody connected to Rangers. It's there's more and more companies are doing that, and it was great to see.
Yep, brilliant. Going back to that resolution that Mike Ashley got put a stop to it. He's actually went back to court to get the resolution extended, effectively, or rather the banning order extended for future meetings. However, the court have denied him this, and they said they'll need to put forward new legal proceedings if he wants to do that. So
that's right.
Whether he does do that or not, it's another story. But there's other things that I think are going to come out in the other court cases shortly. Anyway, so
yeah, I was reading a bit into one of them today. As you say, we can't go too much into it, and we're only going by what some of the newspapers are putting in. But it certainly is looking a hell of a lot more positive than it was quite a few months ago. And I think there's a lot of people are taking this. I'll not say are taking the Rangers' side, but certainly things that are getting pushed through by the MASH group are getting rejected and stuff. So it's looking positive for us at the moment, Derek.
Yes. Certainly a lot more positive off the field than what
yes.
it was, even 6 months ago, I would have said. So.
I know, Derek, but Phil said...
What, Phil Mitchell? Phil Mitchell.
Sorted.
You slag.
No, that's Frank, mate.
Janine. I love you, fat bat. Those earrings.
Go with it.
That's what she said.
Right, compose yourself, man, for God's sake.
Yes. So basically, the remaining resolutions all were passed apart from Resolution 10, which was for the directors would be allowed to exchange cash for shares. Basically, you know, the soft loans would be converted into shares.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that lost by something like, you know, a percent or something like that. It never got passed. It still got like 75%, but it needed that extra wee bit. Turns out that shareholder Malcolm Murray did not vote for this, which is very strange considering he's meant to be on the side of the the Three Bears.
Uh-huh.
Basically, he owns 0.25% of the shares and he has an influence over other small investors. So he's the one who might have swayed the whole thing in that one, which is strange because I would have thought soft loans converted into shares would be the better way of going.
Yes, as you say, that was there's obviously something has happened that we're not privy to know, Derek. But as you say, that's quite a strange one there.
Yeah, because the thing with the Ashley loans, see if they were a wee bit more favourable and they were converted into loans shares, it would have been a lot better than basically taking the securities of things off us, which were obviously majorly troubling, and as well as taking a major part of our retail off us as well. So.
Yep.
It's a strange one that they would want to not fully pass that, but
yes,
we'll see.
Yep.
Yes. So the £5 million loan from Sports Direct finally paid back. There was apparently some issue, and again, this is what Big Phil and all that kind of said. There was all those bad things happening. Basically, there was a bit of dubiety about it because some money was held back and some money was being held by the lawyers for some reason. It has meant that security over Murray Park, Albion Car Park and Edmondson House have given back to the club now.
Mm-hmm.
And today, funnily enough, the club have formally activated the 7-year notice period on the actual contract for the merchandise.
Yes.
However, the Rangers are still trying to dispute the contracts anyway and try and see if they can terminate them other way through, which may come out through the obviously the legal proceedings against all the alleged fraudsters.
Yeah, but as you say, we can't really say much about what's going on there or how it's going to affect basically everything, Derek. So I'm sure once the verdict comes out about that, there's going to be a lot of things that they're going to be looking into, and possibly the merchandise deal or should be one of them if that's the case. But we're jumping the gun a wee bit, I think, Derek. We can't say too much about what's going to happen in that one because, as you say, there are legal proceedings that they're still going over at the moment, so we really can't say much. But I think there's going to be a lot of interesting things that are going to come out. And, Derek, I have just spotted the biggest fucking spider I have ever seen in my life. I need to go and catch it. Give me 2 seconds.
If I hear a scream, I know what it is.
He's still there?
Aye.
That was fucking massive. Right, give me two seconds and I'll be just, I need to go for a quick pee now. Give me a second.
Are you going to need to shut yourself by the sound of it?
That was one of the moments that... Oh, hold on. You still there?
I'm still here, yeah.
That was one of the moments, you know, where you're sitting looking at something and the spider was that big that you actually see at the corner of your eye. But I've got an actual proper spider catcher.
All right.
It's a thing that's on the end of a pole. It's like a wee sort of see-through box. Oh. And you just put it down the top of it and then you slide the thing under it. Because I'd really like killing spiders, because they're, he was good for getting rid of flies and stuff. Mm. So I just had to catapult it out the door and into next door's garden.
The irony is that there's a programme on BBC Four right now called Spider House.
Uh-huh.
Alice Roberts overcomes her arachnophobia in a spider-filled house.
Well, that fucking thing there was huge. It was massive. And see if my missus had been doing the stairs, you would have heard her in Cumbernauld, mate.
Brilliant. See, if I was there, you would have heard me in Cumbernauld.
You big Jesse.
I fucking hate them.
Right, where were we?
Oh yeah, it was about the
Sports Direct deal.
Sports Direct, yeah. And the other one thing is as well that it hasn't given the him repaying the loan hasn't given the trademark or the club badge back to the club yet. So I don't. There was no details on what will trigger that going back, or if he's bought it outright. Or
see,
what.
I was under the impression, Derek, that we did have the trademarks back after giving that loan back. I read that we had got that back. Is that not the case?
From what I read, something that we don't, and that's another thing entirely. So, because remember, part of one of the deals he done was. He had the opportunity to rename Ibrox, but he gave that up for the trademark, did he not?
Yeah, but I was sure when I read when the loan was paid back that that was the trademark had been given back to the club. I hope you're wrong and I'm right, but there's not been much more said about that, but I was sure that I had, so I'm going to have to look into that one.
Yeah. Anyway, the part of the payback was actually funded by a new investment by King's Holding Company. It was £6.5 million. So I think it was like £5 million for the loan and £1.5 million for operating costs for the next till the end of the season. Basically, it was the three bears and two new investors based in Hong Kong. I think they're both Scottish. One of the guys on Twitter, posing as a prominent journalist who runs a fanzine, claimed one of the Hong Kong guys were dodgy and he had dodgy links, posted a blog about it, and it turns out it was another guy with the same name.
I read that as well.
He refused to take it down, and he was so, you know, vehemently, you know, defending his position. He just made himself out to be an arse.
Yep, exactly. And that's very poor journalism for a start, and poor researching, and it really did make him look out to be a complete amateur. And it was great that he was outed sort of almost instantly that this was a completely different guy here. And to be fair to this investor, the journalist that put that up was lucky that there was nothing went further, defamation of character type thing, because it was pretty poor. On his behalf, but again, it doesn't surprise me with the Scottish media, Derek, the way that they've been treating us over the last few years. So it didn't surprise me at all.
What was even funnier is it was on Kerrydale Fails, I think it's called, is that apparently that on their fanzine site. They had actually started a big thread about it, and obviously were going mental. They actually had to basically take that down because they were worried about getting a libel against them as well.
Exactly, aye. Was that you're on about the spoof one, Kerrydale Meltdown?
Aye, that was it. Oh,
if any of our listeners out there wants a really good laugh, they should go onto Twitter, onto Kerrydale Meltdown, and it's basically real tweets from Celtic fans who are either moaning or going mental or complaining about us or complaining about their own team, and it's basically the best tweets that they've done. Somebody out there posts them up on the Kerrydale Meltdown page, and it is absolutely hilarious.
I think it's taken from... is it not taken directly from the Kerrydale Street Forum thing?
Possibly. Possibly, but it's hilarious because every single match day there's at least three or four who's the Mason in the Black, which it doesn't get old, that one, Derek. It really doesn't.
The best thing is, it doesn't matter who's playing. It doesn't even need to be Rangers or Celtic. It could be someone else, and then it's still a Mason in the Black.
I know. That's hilarious. Know. No, but I would encourage anybody that's wanting a laugh. My two favourite Twitter sites to go on to is the Seville Calculator and Kerrydale Meltdown. Absolutely hilarious. And me and Big Ewan for the work, we have a right laugh some nights. It's some of the stuff that gets put on there. It's absolutely hilarious. If you get the chance, you should check it out because it's really funny.
Yep. Next thing we've got here is Rangers First put out an email ballot to members to see if we would vote to use £500,000 of the money to give us a loan to the club. Usual suspects, you know, out there stated that the club had asked for the loan and are desperate. Rangers put out a statement pretty quickly saying that they're not considering any further loans at this time, however, would not rule out in the future. And they also stated that they never asked Rangers First for this. I kind of put a tweet out at the time. I've no issue with Rangers First, you know, offering the money as a loan, but I really think they should have consulted with the club first prior to making it public, then ballot the members.
Yeah, it was a bit of a strange one. It seemed to be all kind of rushed, Derek. So you can see where certain haters out there would maybe be clutching at straws, thinking that there was some major problem. I thought that was quite strange. But to be fair at the club, they were out pretty quickly setting the record straight. And as you say, we've got absolutely no... Rangers First have done a fantastic job. It just seemed to be a wee sort of breakdown in communications or something there. I really don't know what happened. But as you say, in the future, you know, I'm sure anything like that would be welcomed. And the fact that it is all fan run and stuff like that, it's good to know that there is a lot of backing out there, and the fans have got a bit of a say. But just a wee bit of a strange one there, yeah. Like what you said.
It's, I mean, another thing that I've got to pick up on. It's not a dig at all. It's just a wee bit of a concern. Obviously, is one of the spokespeople for Rangers First. I think his name is Ricky Neal. He goes on the other podcast regularly, and he's kind of. This whole thing about merging of the fans groups thing that's kind of came out.
Yep.
And he's kind of flip-flopped about it. He said, oh yeah, it's a good thing. And then he says, oh, I was kind of, I don't know, it's maybe a bad thing, and it's a good thing. You know, it's...
It could surely only be a good thing, Derek, really.
No, it's not that point. It's the fact that if he's acting as a spokesperson for one of them, he shouldn't really be giving his opinion, you know, outright like that, to be honest.
Yeah.
If he's acting as a spokesperson for
certainly, personally speaking, and you're probably the same, Derek, anything that can bring all the fans groups together can only be good.
Yeah.
You know, for us, and have one, you know, I know that there might be a few people that are against that. But you can only really see good things happening, and I hope that there is something that really does join everyone. I know it's certainly not as bad as it was before, because I know there was a lot of people in certain the organisations wouldn't speak to some of the people in the other ones. I know it's not like that anymore, which is a great step. So here's hoping that continues, and there is, you know, going to be something happening quite soon.
Yeah, no, I certainly agree with you. I'm just saying that if us as a capacity of work is the iReady podcast, we don't work for Rangers First or Rangers Supporters Trust.
Yep.
His, you know, the point I'm making here is Ricky is in his capacity as a spokesperson for Rangers First shouldn't be given conflicting information about that. So,
well,
as I said, you know, it's not a dig, it's just something that was maybe needing a wee bit more clarification. And, you know, certainly, you know, when there's money running through both of them, people need to be very careful about what's said. So, you know, as I said, not a dig.
Well said, Derek. I know, I agree with you.
Next one here, again, we need to be kind of tight-lipped about this. So I've actually put it down as the Fraudster 6, but I'm going to say it's the alleged Fraudster 6.
Aye, right, okay.
Yes, they appeared in court. More charges levelled at them. 15 in total now. And they're dating back to 2010, so it's really before any of them taking over at Rangers.
And huge sums of money that we're talking about now, Derek, or that allegedly has been talked about in court. Huge amount. I mean, it's almost £29 million, I think, is the alleged charges here. That's absolutely staggering, Derek. Yeah. Absolutely staggering. And again, we've really got to watch what we're saying, because we don't know who's listening. But I mean, that you really have to think about that and think, you know, what the hell was going on then, if that is the case. But again, we really can't say much, and we have to wait and see what's said. But certainly what has been alleged, it's just absolutely staggering. So you can't believe, you know, that this type of thing was going on, or was alleged to have been going on, you know, at our club. Absolutely incredible.
Yeah. One very telling thing on two counts here is the judge apparently stated that the actions made the administration inevitable for the club. So one, is that him, you know, I don't want to say presuming guilt straight away there.
Yes.
It's maybe the way it was worded. I've just maybe typed it up wrong.
Yep.
There. But also, if that's the case, if the judge is stating that actions that have been levelled against the club made administration inevitable, mm-hmm. and these are potentially criminal charges yep. here and criminal exactly. actions against the club. What's the SFA and the SPL's views on that then?
Exactly. But again, Derek, until there is an actual verdict, we really can't comment on that. But it's the one thing that everybody is thinking about here. What if and what action, you know, should have been taken and would be taken. But again, we can't see anything at the and you know, at the moment, because they are just these are two charges that haven't been brought yet,
yeah.
and it's just alleged at the moment. But certainly a lot of food for thought, definitely.
The thing is, though, is, you know, even if it does get, you know, say for instance, all done and dusted in the court by June, you know they're going to appeal if they get found guilty.
That's right. Yes.
So it's going to be years and years.
It's going to go on for a long time, yeah. but. Again, it's just absolutely staggering. When I read what the allegations were and the amount of money, I really couldn't believe it. And to think that our club could, you know, generated that amount of money in such a small space of time for it all to have allegedly been taken away from us. I mean, it's absolutely shocking. And we'll just have to wait and see what happens. But I keep saying all the time, we don't know who's listening to this. We didn't want to end up getting warned by anybody, so everything's alleged at the moment, and we just have to wait and see what happens.
Guilty. Allegedly.
Allegedly. We should change the name of this podcast to the Allegedly Ready Podcast, I think.
Well, certainly after tonight's efforts, it fucking was. We had a lot of issues at the start of this before about my recorder playing up, so.
I just didn't think you've got a clue, Derek, to be honest with you, but hey.
I say I'm a sound engineer, I'm a sound guy engineer, but that's another story.
Anyway. I've heard conflicting reports about that as well. Yeah. Allegedly.
So have I. Anyway, just in relation to the court case there, again, more of the usual people claiming that Craig White was in a bar in Edinburgh and had been attacked by Rangers fans and he had a broken jaw the night before the court appearance, you know, mm-hmm. a load of bullshit anyway.
Aye.
And obviously, as well, White's actually having the last of his assets analysed by bankruptcy specialists to see basically what she can recover for the creditors. That's yep. in relation to the Ticketus bankruptcy case
yes.
that they brought against them, so...
Aye, again, we're not wanting to, we just hope that justice is done in the name of your club. That's all we can hope for, Derek.
Yep. Next, more court cases here. Basically, this relates to the Ashley Mash Sports Direct.
For fuck's sake, Derek, is this the fucking court roundup in the Falkirk Herald?
It must be,
aye. Right when you go.
We should see my drones, mate.
Matchstick men and all that, aye.
Mike Ashley's sitting in the dock. No, sorry, it's a picture of a cunt.
or a cock.
Oh, well. A big cock.
Allegedly. Aye. Right.
Basically, King had won the case, effectively, over Sports Direct, Mike Ashley, Mash, whatever you want to call them, mm-hmm. over claims that he broke the gagging order. It was absolutely hilarious reading the play-by-play court...
And I don't know who the reporter was. I was reading it as it was coming through, the tweets that were coming through, and I can't remember who it was. I had written the guy's name down, but his coverage...
STV Grant, I think.
Yeah, I think it was. His coverage was first class. It really was. He never missed a single thing, and it kept everybody completely up to date, which was brilliant and great reading, as you say, and there was a lot of funny bits in there as well, so it was good.
And he was basically just trolling them throughout, and it was hilarious, you know. Basically, the Sports Direct's argument is that King had mentioned in an interview that he had a meeting with Ashley. That was apparently the breach, you know, and the judge, you know, tore up his shreds for that. So you're basically saying there was a breach because he said we had a meeting. You know, it was like, nah, it's no flying.
Yep.
Sports Direct were then claiming for damages due to this alleged breach. Court again basically said they're taking the piss, basically. Sports Direct were initially claiming £200,000 damages, which is apparently the maximum you can claim for a breach of this kind. Then they reduced it to £50,000, and then basically they've pulled ruled out everything of it, and yep. stated it was abuse of the court process.
Yes.
King was also cleared of contempt of court as well. Judge has said that it should have never been brought to the court. It was an abuse of the court process, and there's a clear vendetta against King. And sports director have now agreed to pay the full court costs, which I think are running into about £400,000.
Yes.
So really a costly thing for them.
Yep. But again, it's basically loose change to folk like that, though, Derek, really.
Yep.
But at the same time, it's encouraging the fact that I think that they're maybe backing down slightly now. I think one of the journalists, and it was them that used this, was you know, the fact that they were trying to bully their way, you know, to get what they wanted, and the courts have basically thrown it out. And I think the judge that was actually there accused them of using the justice system to get their own way, or trying to use the justice system basically to get their own way. And that was, you know, it didn't take too kindly to that as well. So it was encouraging. I think the way that Dave King was going on was he was very confident that it was going to get thrown out. And, you know, it has done. Here's hoping that, you know, all the other stuff that's in court with regards to the whole situation with Sports Direct, if any of that goes to court, here's hoping it goes as, you know, it gets dealt with as quickly as that. But I don't know what they're going to do with regards to appealing. I think you briefly went over that, if they're going to try and do anything to try and cut the retail deal or not, or try and get something sorted. But it's certainly looking a bit more positive than it was anyway.
Yeah, I mean, the judge in that case had to come out and say that he was not a part of the Masons and his wife's not a Rangers fan.
I know,
because once again the usual crowd started to say that.
Incredible.
So you can see a common theme here, can't you?
It was basically just Rangers hating, mate. Aye. It doesn't matter what we do or what the club does, they can't win, and there's going to be, and it's even more so now. I mean, it's incredible. I had a discussion with a friend of mine who's not a Rangers fan, and he was trying to have a wee dig, but even he admitted that there's no many clubs in the world that could have came through what we have came through. And as I says to him, I says, it doesn't matter what you think of the club or whatever, I says, you've got to think of the supporters out there that have stuck with the club through thick and thin and supported them in their tens of thousands. I says, we've been through a hell of a lot. I says, and I really can't think of any other club in the world that's been treated the way that we have. I says, both by the professional... My earpiece popped out there. By the professional bodies that run the game, and the sheer hatred that we've had for the media and other fans out there, it's absolutely staggering, Derek. And it's just great to see us getting back healthy and playing really well on the park and going from strength to strength, because it has been absolutely horrendous, and it still is. And the amount of abuse that we still take, as you say, the amount of stories that come out for people that are desperate to say bad things about us is unbelievable.
Yep. No, it's, you know,
I mean, there's a point that I was going to come up on there, and I actually tweeted back, because I was seething just about a week and a half ago. I went in my monthly trip to the barbers, and I went in and I sat down waiting to get my hair cut, and there was the Daily Record sitting there, and I had a wee look, and they were doing a big spread on football fans and the problems that they're having with throwing flares and, you know, sort of problems during the game. And it was basically they were having a wee dig at the Celtic supporters, as well as, who was the other set of fans that recently got
Dundee United?
No, it was a club in a lower league that had took flares into a ground. And they were having a wee dig, and they were going on about the state, you know, the problems having with fans. And then there was a picture of the Rangers supporters and the Hibs supporters at the 4-2 game. And they put down, it was a picture of the Celtic fans with the flares, and a picture of, that's really annoying me, who the other team was with the flare. And then it had, and Rangers and Hibs fans goad each other during their recent match. Now, Derek, which sets of supporters in the whole world It doesn't matter what country you're in, what continent, what year. Can you tell me two sets of supporters who do not goad each other during a game? It is a part of football. It's a part of rivalry. And just it was just an excuse to put the Rangers fans in a bad light. I mean, it was incredible. I mean, I don't know any football fan out there in the whole world, any football team who could turn around and say that when there's two sets of supporters sitting near each other, that there isn't a bit of slagging off and standing up, shouting and swearing at each other. It happens at every single gate match, at every single ground all over the world, even in places like America. They stand and they shout and they slag each other off. It's maybe not quite as nasty, but they're shouting at each other.
In some places in America, they stand and shoot each other.
Well, but Derek, it's incredible. And the Daily Record put that in there with a picture of the Rangers fans in, because basically they couldn't find anything else bad to say about us. And it was as if, oh well, we're painting the Celtic fans in a bad light here, so we really have to do the same with the Rangers fans. It was absolute, it was the most pettiest thing I've ever seen in my life, and I put on a wee tweet, not that I got any responses or anything to it, but I was absolutely raging with that fact that that was, you know, all they could find to have, you know, to have a go at the Rangers fans. It was absolutely incredible. And in my opinion, it really made them sink to a new low when it comes to their opinion about us. It's unbelievable.
No one likes us. We don't care.
I know. That is taking it to a whole new extreme, Derek. It really is. And it's pathetic. But that's me had my wee rant anyway about that bloody newspaper.
Brilliant. Well, unfortunately, we're not quite done with the court cases yet.
Yep.
Mike Ashley is currently, well, not right now because it's 20 to 11 at night, but he's in the middle of a court case now with the SFA to try and get their petty wee fine for dual ownership basically rescinded and thrown out. Basically, it's a play on words by the sound of it. Their defence on, you know, who's actually signed for the loan with Rangers, Marsh, Ashley, Sports Direct, you know, so I don't know where that's going. Again, we can't really say much of it.
No.
Next thing here is Green obviously was trying to get Rangers to pay for his legal costs, which could run for up to £500,000, if not more. He lost his first case and he's appealed it. The judge said that you've got to put a £50,000 bond down to do so, which he's done. So that's it's been heard in the courts again, so we're waiting on another decision on that, which is going to be a written one. I don't know why. Next thing here is BDO are appealing to the Supreme Court over the EBT decision that got put out by the court of session, I think it was.
Yes.
So that's getting set, the date set for that initial hearing on the 24th of February to see if they can appeal or not. It doesn't make a bit of difference to Rangers now anyway, but it's more vindication and
yes,
if they do get to appeal. And the last court case we've got in the last bit of Blue Room news is Wi-Fi firm 802 Works Limited were initially granted a £300,000 to be ring-fenced in the Rangers accounts so that they would get paid for work that they'd done to the Wi-Fi should the company go under. Basically, Rangers have turned it off and they're disputing the bill for the fact that it doesn't work.
Yeah, it wasn't fit for purpose, I think, was the words that was used.
That was the words. They were claiming that, you know, Rangers were, obviously this was put in under the Green era, they were claiming that Rangers were fully aware that it wouldn't serve 50,000 fans. Rangers are disputing that. Basically, the courts ruled in Rangers' favour for it not to be extended, and the £300,000 is no longer ring fenced because there's no danger of going under.
Yep.
So Rangers are still fighting the bill for it being not fit for purpose. So we'll see how that pans out.
Yeah. Yep.
So that kind of sums up the Blue Room.
The court room, dog.
The court room, aye. And we'll leave it there because we don't want to end up in the courtrooms. So.
Exactly. Yes. No. Aye. And as I've said before, everything that we've covered, any opinions that we've had have been over any alleged wrongdoings by people. That's as far as we can go. Oh, are we still there?
I'm still here, yeah.
Oh, right, okay.
Sorry, I was emptying my nose there.
Right, okay.
Yeah, less said about that.
Exactly.
Right, so we'll move on now and we'll go to the news.
From ITN, the ITV News at 10 with Trevor McDonald.
So just due to the length of the podcast this week, we have no What a Player and we've no any classic match.
Yes.
We're already running quite long in time.
Yeah. So. No, that will definitely return, hopefully, in the next pod when we've only got one or two games to cover, because we'll have to get our fingers out our arse and do this a lot more regular than we have been. But it has been over the Christmas period and stuff, Derek, and like we said before, we're no longer working together or on the same shift pattern, so it has been quite difficult for us to get this out, but hopefully we'll be doing it more regular, just like taking a load of these figs and prunes and stuff like that. Hopefully we'll be a lot more regular in the future.
So we're going to be more regular, we're getting our finger out our arses. We're getting it out.
Exactly. You can't beat it, mate.
It sounds like a fucking great night, though. Sign me up now.
Right, what's in the news?
In the news, as ever, obviously due to Warburton doing very well, he was linked to Fulham and the Swansea job. Rangers issue a statement that no clubs have been in contact. Warburton basically slammed the media because they kept on asking him the same question. Yes. Time and time again.
Yep.
And he repeated himself, you know, time and time again, so he was fed up with that. But, you know, it's good that our gaffer's getting linked with other clubs because it shows he's doing a good job.
Again, Derek, it's been going on for years. Anyone who's at Rangers that's done well, either a manager or a player, any time that there's any jobs in England that are linked, the media jump on it and say, oh, you've really not proved yourself until you've played in England. If a player is playing well at Celtic or a manager's doing well at Celtic and they're ever linked to a job in England, the media turn it around completely and say, you'll no get a better club or a bigger club than Celtic, and you'd be mad to go down to England. I've been hearing it for years and years and years, Derek, when Gazza was at Rangers, when Brian Laudrup was at Rangers, when Ali McCoys was scoring all his goals. It was, you really no proved yourself until you're doing with England, or doing in England. And then when Celtic had players like Henrik Larsson and folk like that, oh well, there's no point in you moving because you're already at the biggest club and all that. It's just, it's a lot of nonsense again with the media. Anybody in this country that says that the media are on Rangers' side are absolutely kidding themselves, or they're reading completely different articles to what I am.
Yep.
I'm really down on the media tonight, eh?
Ah, you think you're not happy with them or something. next one we've got here is Bomber Brown. He's started his work as a representative of Rangers. He was in Russia at the beginning of December representing Rangers to mark the 70th anniversary of Dynamo Moscow's UK tour just after World War II.
Excellent.
And Tori Andrew Flo was there representing Chelsea as well, because they did play them.
Oh, excellent. So, I didn't know that. No, that's good news.
Good Rangers contingent there.
Yep, definitely.
Next one is a bit of horrible news. It's just unbelievable what happened. We all thought it was somebody, you know, taking the piss rather badly, but unfortunately it turned out to be true that Arnold Parato got murdered in Honduras.
He
was shot outside multiple times outside a shopping centre when he was, you know, shot in a baby store of all places, and his fiancée was outside, or his wife, I think, was outside.
I'm going to have a wee dig at the media here, Derek, but the pictures that they shown were absolutely horrific. I still can't believe that they chose to show the picture of his wife looking over his body in an absolute state. I thought that was absolutely horrendous that they chose to use that picture. I thought it was completely insensitive as well, especially for his wife and, you know, the Rangers fans out there. I mean, I know the guy didn't play for us for long, but he's still one of your ex-players. And, you know, to have that one picture, and it was used in most of the media in Scotland. It wasn't just the Daily Record, it was in the Sun, it was in the Express and the Mirror. Absolutely incredible, and I still can't believe that that's the picture that they've shown, especially on the front page of a newspaper, you know. Yeah. But, you know,
it's one thing you kind of expect it in a lot of these countries' media, because a lot of the media, other media, other countries' media are very uncensored.
Yeah.
Whereas our country, you know, it's funnily you mentioned the papers there, all the stupid wee rags, basically, all the red tops that were doing it.
It was incredible, and the fact that the vast majority of them had them as a front page.
Yeah.
I know they're trying to sell newspapers and stuff like that, but I thought it was in very bad taste.
Absolutely.
What they done, Derek, and as I say, we can only, it was horrendous news. The whole situation was horrendous, and again, the haters out there are coming up with their own stories as to what happened, and allegedly they were saying he was involved in a lot of shady stuff, or members of his family was, and whatever. We don't know exactly what's happened or what's been the motive, but it was tragic. It was absolutely shocking, and as the Rangers family, we were all really devastated about it, the fact that he was so young, still playing football, a part of the international team, and you'd really have to feel for his wife having to go through that. Nobody should have to go through that at all, and it was just absolutely horrendous.
Yeah, there was a minute silence at the Morton game, which was the next game.
Yes.
Impeccably, you know, observed again.
Aye,
black armbands worn by all, and the one good thing is Honduran police seem to have arrested first band of people.
And to give us a mention to Celtic's Emilio Izaguirre, he had the T-shirt on underneath his top with Arnold Peralta's name and everything on it, because I know the two of them were really, really close when they were there. So it was a nice touch for the other side of the city for one of their players to do that for him, you know, speak out. So that was really good. Izaguirre to do that, and I know that he was absolutely devastated by it all as well. Yeah. So it was tragic, Derek. It really was.
Yeah. Another bit of sad news. I never knew much about this guy, but a former youth coach, Billy Duncanson, died. He was involved in the Smith Advocat and McLeish era, and he helped develop players like Barry Ferguson, Charlie Miller, Alan Hutton, Charlie Adams. So, you know, he's you know, obviously a big influence on a lot of the best players we've brought up.
Aye.
Get on to signings now, a wee bit more kind of cheering news.
Signings, Derek?
Not for a club that's, you know, in dire straits.
Exactly. I mean, that's we're going under again, shortly, according to Phil. But a lot of nonsense. And again, to be fair to Dave King, he kept any time that any of these stupid things were coming out on social media about us going under and running out of money and all of that. To be fair to Dave King, he always spoke out quite quickly, which was what we didn't have for quite a long time. There was a lot of attacks in the club, and nobody was prepared to say anything to defend us. And to be fair to Dave King, he seems to be doing that. And there's a lot of things released by Rangers media rather quickly any time there's anything said about us. So that's quite positive as well.
Yeah. First one we've got here is midfielder Harry Forrester signs from Doncaster Rovers on an initial 6-month deal. Kenny Shields instantly came out and says that he's not the class of player Rangers should be looking at and signing.
And they should be playing his son.
Aye.
Basically.
Well, different position, mind you. But
know that he's biased towards his own son or anything like that, Derek. I've actually been quite. I think that Dean Shields is a good player, but I think he's a better impact player coming on as a substitute than he is playing the full 90 minutes. But I mean, of course, Kenny Shields is going to say that his son should be playing for Rangers. I mean, I think everybody would be the same, but I would just hope the guy does well. He's certainly got the credentials. He's a young player that Warburton, you know, thinks a lot of, and he's brought him in. But I think he's just on a short-term contract, Derek, is that right?
Initial 6 months, and we'll see how it goes. So.
Yeah.
Next guy we've got is Polish keeper, I'm not going to even try, well, I am actually.
Aye.
Maciej Gostomski.
Right, okay.
He's signed a 6-month deal. Basically, it's meant Liam Kelly goes out on loan. He's went to East Fife during that time as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's rather, I don't understand it though. I can understand Liam Kelly going out on loan, but now Cammy Bell's came back and he's featured on the bench now.
Aye.
So why sign this guy?
I don't know. It's a bit of a strange one because I don't expect him to play at all for the first team, really. Oh. So it's a bit of a strange one, that one. But again, there's got to be some method in his madness, Derek. I don't know what it is, but he's We just have to see what he, if he does play anything, but I doubt it very much.
Yep. Next one, we've got two decent youngsters by the sound of it, and especially one of them, Josh Windass, was apparently getting courted by Arsenal.
Yep.
So must be doing something well. They've signed pre-contract deals in the to sign in the summer.
And the son of former Aberdeen, Bradford and whoever else, Dean Windass, it's his son.
Yes. So we were actually looking to sign them in January, but I don't think we put up the money for them, so
no.
That's fair enough. Signed from Accrington Stanley.
Yep. Who are they?
Stanley. Oh, I was going to say something else, that's the wrong thing.
No.
Basically, their chairman has had a pop at us, despite us having, you know, been perfectly entitled to talk to them,
exactly,
because they've only had 6 months left in their deal. He was basically no happy that two youngsters they trained up were leaving for minimal compensation.
Yep.
That's what happens, you know. That's
exactly.
That's up
exactly.
to sign them up.
Yeah.
Their manager has also had a pop at the two players because they put on Twitter they can't wait to join a massive club. Their boss thought it was disrespectful to Accrington and their fans. Well, Accrington Stanley was at League Two, England, Rangers, worldwide club.
Yep, exactly. It's a wee dig by certain folk there, jealous folk out there, Derek. But we'll leave them to it. We just have to hope these two young guys are, you know, fulfil their potential. But again, early 20s guys for the lower league in England that Mark Warburton's obviously been watching for quite some time, and we really can't slag off some of the players that he's brought in that were playing in the lower leagues in England that have went on and been fantastic for us. So here's hoping that they're going to be successful as well.
Yep. Probably the biggest signing of the window was the signature of Michael Harlan from St Johnstone for about £500,000.
Yeah, a player that he's made quite clear that he's been really he's been interested in signing since that St Johnstone game where he basically tore us to shreds. I think he's been looking for that type of player that can play on the wing or play up front. He's got, you know, electric pace. He's really strong. He's just the perfect type of forward that Mark Warburton likes. And I think he sees him as a sort of eventual replacement for Kenny Miller. So you can maybe see Miller starting to, you know, have more sort of lesser, you know, chances in the team coming on as subs and stuff like that, because I think he maybe sees it being as Mackay, Waghorn and O'Halloran, and they're certainly a hell of a pace, they three up front, Derek, so I think he's going to be a success. I was really pleased that we got him, considering we'd been linked to him for a long time and we thought it wasn't going to happen. And when we brought in Billy King on loan for Hearts, I think we all thought that was the player he was bringing in instead, but transfer deadline day, we got our man.
Yep. Absolutely. As you said, we signed Billy King on loan till the end of the season from Hearts, not only because he's got a great name. Do you know what's even funnier? Is my autocorrect has actually put it to Billy King sings from Hearts. It must have known.
How's that? So you're trying to say that you've got a bigoted spell checker then, Derek?
Must have, I.
No, I think the only other one, Derek, is we were heavily linked to the player. He's a former player from Brentford, Diaguraga, I think you mentioned his name. And I think he would have been a fantastic player for us. Certainly everything that I read about him, defensive midfielder, absolutely amazing in the air, really strong and powerful. I think that's one that's slipped through that we really, you know, would have made a huge, huge impact in the team. I know that the boy that we're signing from Accrington Stanley plays in the same position, but I think this guy had a real pedigree about him, and he was the player of the season when Brentford got into the, you know, the playoffs. So I was really quite disappointed that one didn't happen. Because I think he'd have been a great player, but he signed for Leeds, we didn't get him. We've got to look forward, and just pleased that we've brought in O'Halloran, and as you say, for quite a lot of money as well, you know, with the add-ons and that coming on £500,000, and again, that quashes the rumours that we're in any financial trouble, so the fact that they've paid that for him.
Yeah, I mean, the Diaguaga one, I mean, he scored in his debut, funnily enough.
Yes.
Which is a bit of a pisser. But it was apparently a £700,000 deal, which allegedly is going to rise to about £1.5 million.
It's a lot of money. Yeah.
So, I mean, me and my dad nearly kind of fell out because, you know, he's in this camp who is just going on the back of what King said is £30 million there. Well, you know, I would try to explain to him, well, we're not going to overpay for players we don't need to.
I think a lot of people think or they've got it in their head that that money that was quoted was going to be for transfers, when really there was so many things that were wrong with the club, wrong with the stadium, the training ground, the problems we had with Sports Direct. You know, a huge amount of money was going to have to be spent to rectify all these things, and they has done so. And I, for one, I mean, I've been having arguments with Hearts fans at my work who have been going on about saying, aye, King's been lying to you and he's not done this and the money that he promised. Well, the money has been spent, but it's been spent on other things rather than, you know, the playing staff. It's been the infrastructure of the club that it's been spent on. So, you know, that money has been spent there, and we have still managed to go out and buy, you know, one of the best players in the Premier League. So it's certainly one of the best attackers in the Premier League. Because again, Derek, I don't care what anybody says, O'Halloran would get a game for nearly every single team in the Premier League. Maybe not an automatic starter for Celtic, but he would certainly get a game for every other team in the Premier League if they had him. So he is one of the best attackers, and I was delighted that we got him.
Yep, definitely. Next ones we've got here is Holt and Halliday extended their contracts to 2020.
Yeah, fantastic. Absolutely brilliant, yes.
And Mackay still to sign, I believe, as well.
Yeah, we can't say, as I say, we can't go on enough about how amazing Holt has been. I think he's absolutely fantastic. And Andy Halliday as well has been a great seventh for us already. He is relishing playing for Rangers, and so is his maw, considering the amount of tweets that she puts on and pictures of him when he was a wee boy playing for Rangers youth teams, and having his picture with Walter Smith when he was a wee boy with Rangers strip on and everything like that. So his family are all obviously diehard Rangers fans, and you can tell when he's getting interviewed for any of the media that he's just absolutely delighted to be there. And, you know, I think he's you know, if the, you know, the captaincy or the vice captaincy came up, he would be the man that would be desperate for it. I think, you know, a real trier for the team. He's not a flair player, but he's certainly an exceptionally hard worker. Mm-hmm. And we keep saying it, I think he would score a lot of goals if he was playing further forward, but the position that he's playing, he's a defensive midfielder at the moment, but he's certainly been excellent in that role so far for us. So I'm delighted that both players have signed, and hopefully Barry Mackay does the same, because I think he's been outstanding as well this season.
Yeah. And referees, take note, look at the other older pictures of Halliday. He'd done the same bloody celebrations back then.
Exactly.
Zalalem has extended his loan until the end of the season, so it's good. But a lot of people are in a mixed kind of mood about him. So
I think he needs a goal, Derek.
Aye.
I think he needs a goal. I think if he scored, they had a great chance to score against Falkirk. If he'd attained his, you know, if he'd have took an extra touch, he would have had a much good clearer chance. But he hit the ball first time right in the middle of the box when he had time to take it. I think if that lad scores, his confidence will be sky high, and you'll see him getting forward a lot more. But at this time, he's still, I think, trying a bit too hard. But you can tell he's got all the skills, he's got all the natural ability there, and I've got no doubt he will be outstanding. You know, he'll be an outstanding player. But it was good the fact that he has agreed to stay longer. It shows that he's enjoying his football and he's enjoying playing for us. So as I say, I think a wee goal would maybe change everything for him. I don't know if you feel the same way.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the chances he has had have kind of been sclaffed a lot of the time and trundlers.
Yep.
And
yep,
he's not just got his foot right on it, but arguably plays maybe too many sideways balls, but sometimes that's what you need to do. I mean, Barry Ferguson made a career out of it, so you know, just glad he's staying and getting the experience.
Exactly.
One loanee to another, Adua has went back to Tottenham. Don't know the reasons why, but as usual, the ill-fill claimed that it was due to Rangers not paying his hotel room. Obviously turned out to be bullshit because he was sharing an apartment with someone else anyway. So, well, in some respects, as we welcome the Chase podcast out, he was kind of correct because they weren't paying a hotel room for himself.
It's ridiculous. It was a bit of a strange one, Derek, because I thought he was a decent player. Again, maybe tried too hard sometimes, but certainly a handful when he came on for defenders, and you know, a decent addition to have in the team. So I was quite surprised that he left. There was obviously some reason why he didn't stay, because the supporters certainly liked him. He got a great evasion of every time he played for us, and a lot of support. So I don't know if something's happened there or no, and he's, you know, he's went back, but we wish him all the best, because he certainly was. He caused a bit of controversy for coming up and showing off too much against Alawa, according to them. But
he must have got sacked for being disrespectful.
Exactly. Aye. So we wish him all the best, and we'll wait and see what happens with him.
Yep. Gasparato, Robbie Crawford and Darren Ramsey extend their loans to the end of the season at Morton, Alawa and Arbroath.
Yep.
Andy Murdoch joins Queen of the South on loan till the end of the season. Tom Walsh on loan to Dumbarton for the rest of the season.
Two decent players, Derek. I'm quite surprised that they didn't get more of a chance. And I tell you something, I think if Murdoch had been playing in midfield on Saturday instead of Nicky Law, we would have played a hell of a lot better. But again, I'm just maybe being overcritical of Law, but I thought he had an absolute shocker. And it was when we had some young players like that were really good players that could have stepped in. You know, instead of him, we would have probably played a hell of a lot better. But again, that's just my opinion.
The one that's concerned me though is Ayres going on loan to Vancouver Whitecaps for the full MLS season, which runs from March to October. I don't think you'll see him play for Rangers again.
No, I agree with you there. I don't know. He was a regular starter under Ali McCoist. He certainly bags the pace, Derek, and very direct. But obviously, Mark Warburton doesn't fancy him and his team. We can't question the manager the way the team's been playing, but he was a good young player, as I say, really, really fast and really pacey. And again, he's in Canada. It's, you know, he has, I don't know if he's fully Canadian. I know was he born in Canada and stuff. I know he's sort of dual Canadian and Scottish, but we just have to again hope he does really well and hope that the experience out there and he gets his game and he maybe comes back with a wee extra spring in his step, and the manager, you know, might want to try him again. But as you say, I've a wee sneaky suspicion that we'll not see him again but playing for Rangers, but
unfortunately, but these things happen in football. So anyway, Craig Halkett has actually left the club and he's gone to Livingston. So that was the only kind of other actual, that was the only player we properly let go of by the look of it. So. Right, we've kind of done with signings there. Next kind of bit of Rangers news here is Rangers sent a delegation to the National Soccer Coaches of America convention in Baltimore in January, just at the start of January. It was a 5-day convention with the major clubs in Europe. 10,000 attendees, apparently, and basically we're trying to network the club and build our brand over there. And apparently we're going to Japan to do the same for a similar convention in the coming months. So
fantastic.
About time we start doing this.
Yeah, exactly. And does that mean that we can cancel some fixtures, do a tour to Japan, but claim that it's really no a winter break because all the other clubs are playing, but we're no because we're representing Scotland and another country, and you know, nothing to do with sporting integrity or anything like that. It's actually really good, but actually no take any of your first team and just take all the youngsters. Is that maybe what they're trying to do?
I don't know. I don't think any other team's done that before, have they?
Maybe I'm there, but we'll not get into that now.
As I mentioned in the last podcast, there was a sleepover charity night at Ibrox, which managed to raise £59,000.
Yeah, I heard about that. There was a big thing about that at Ibrox on Saturday, where they actually brought the people out onto the pitch at half time that done that. That's a huge amount of money that was raised, and it was you that was talking about that in the last pod, so that was a huge success.
Yep, so something, if they do it, I think they're doing it next day, well, rather this year as well, so it'll be something I'll be more looking into this year.
Yeah, fantastic, aye.
Working during it, but Ibrox Hospitality Suite has actually reopened due to high demand in the Argyle Suite, which is a good sign. So I don't know, I think they maybe closed it earlier this year or late last year, just due to the lack of demand, which I suppose if you look at last year, you know, there was a lack of demand in the stadium all around. So certainly a good sign that way.
Brilliant, yeah.
Good bit of news here. Rixon was guest of honour at the Ballon d'Or. I can't even pronounce
Ballon d'Or.
It. Ballon d'Or.
Yes.
That's it. That sounds like a fucking Game of Thrones character. Ballon d'Or.
I seen that, Derek, and he really was made to look as if he was the star man there, because the top players were all getting their pictures taken with him and sitting with him, and I think Cristiano Ronaldo, I know a lot of people think he's a bit of a ponce, but to be fair to him, he was right in there and sitting with him and talking to him for ages and stuff like that. So it was a great touch, and you know, he was recognised, you know, as you know, this ex, you know, great ex player, this horrible, horrible disease that's affecting him. But it was great to see, and still in really high spirits, Derek. He's looking a good bit frailer than he was, but certainly still in high spirits. So we just have to, again, we keep saying it about him, but we just have to pray and keep hoping that he fights on and stays positive. But it was great to see, as you say, all these star players, and they were all getting their pictures taken with him and stuff like that. Absolutely brilliant and great by UEFA and FIFA to, you know, have them there as well. It was a good touch.
Yeah, another good touch as well, and I can't believe I'm praising, we're going to be praising Celtic twice in this podcast, but they had them as guest of honour at Celtic's home game against Ajax, and they had, what was it, the Celtic superfan Jay there as well, pictures with him, so good wee touch for Celtic as well.
Yep, it was.
Unfortunately, you're talking about him being frail as well, though. In December he was at Murray Park and he took a wee tumble and broke his hand, so just shows you know, how frail he is.
Yeah, I know, it's heartbreaking to see a guy who we saw as being rock solid, you know, and that's what happens. It's it should make everybody be thankful that we're all in good health and stuff like that. When you see a super fit guy who is such a star for his club, you know, the way he is at the moment, it's shocking. And as I say, our heart goes out to him, and we just want him to keep going and keep staying positive.
Yep. Next thing I've got here is a bit of trivia I never knew. Former Spurs player Darren Anderton. He's actually going to play for a Rangers Legends team this spring in a charity match in Southampton for Help for Heroes.
Oh, right.
Turns out he's actually a really big Rangers fan.
I never knew that.
Dad was from Motherwell. Oh. He nearly signed for us in 2004, and he actually kind of went on a kind of mini trial thing. He had an injury, though, and he was taught, and the club doctor was steering McLeish away from him. So.
Oh, there you go. No, that, I never knew that either, Derek, so... Another ex-England international that's a big Rangers fan.
Yep.
Oh, that's I never knew that at all. That's good to know.
Yeah. This one's kind of an ex-Rangers player. He was never, you know, a major player. He got ridiculed a wee bit for basically shitting out of one game. But it's more to highlight the fact that the state of the Scottish game is Ross Perry was playing for Brechin, and he got a bad knee injury at the end of November, which ruled him out for the season. He needed an operation, but Brechin could not afford to pay for it. Basically, it meant that to go private, to get it done there and then, would cost about £5,000.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's out of contract at the end of the season, so that's another reason why I don't think Brechin were paying for it.
Mm-hmm.
Because he couldn't pay for it, the club couldn't pay for it, he was forced to go on the NHS waiting list, which basically was going to take months.
Yep.
And because he was out of contract, he was going to basically be out of club and out of job.
Yep.
Basically what happened is his teammates donated their win bonus for the next game, which came to about £1,500. They asked the board to match it, which they done, and he's paid the rest. So,
that's brilliant.
It just goes to show, though, that, you know, if you're playing football, you get injured for your club, and regardless of if they're part-time or not, they should be surely paying for, you know, any treatment like that.
Yeah, it's that's a guy there. Both me and you, Derek. No, well, I'm saying me and you, but I worked with Ross Perry's auntie a few years ago. She's still in the organisation that we work for, Derek, and she, used to tell me all about him. He was the captain of the Rangers youth team right up to, he was like a wee boy, right up to till he got into the first team. And as you say, he had all the potential and, you know, the Rangers background to go on and really become a class act for us, but it just didn't work out for him at all. And at the end, he was really quite, and I'm not being disrespectful, but some of the games that he had for Rangers were really below standard and really quite poor. And it just shows you that a young lad like that that's went all the way for the youth team and the first team and is now playing for Brechin and struggling because, you know, they have to pay their own medical bills. It shows you the highs and lows of the game, eh, and how it can change so quickly. So, yeah. Aye, that's, but as you say, a nice touch there. And again, because he's an ex-Rangers player, we have to wish him the best for the future and hope he gets back fully fit.
Yeah. And we're kind of going to extremes here. Duncan Ferguson has been declared bankrupt, apparently.
All right.
You know, he's still working for Everton now, I believe, as a coach. But, I mean, mm-hmm. he was on, you know, 30 grand a week, which, you know, back then was obviously still mega money,
yes,
wasn't it?
So it's, that's right.
You know, for
I actually heard, I was listening to Talk Sport the other night. I listened to that quite a lot. And there was actually quite a few Everton fans after Everton got beat. I can't even tell who it was that they got beat with in the last minute, or they drew with, when they drew with Chelsea and stuff like that. And there was quite a few of the fans were coming on saying that they wanted to see Duncan Ferguson being the first team coach instead of Martinez, because all the players would be absolutely terrified of him, and he would get them off playing. And I thought that was maybe a good shout, that he'd be terrified in case he stuck the heat in them or something like that.
So we've kind of covered most of the news now. This is, we're getting on to the more funny, yep, bits and pieces now, which we always like to do. El Hadj Diouf.
Oh, there we go.
Brilliant.
El Hadj Diouf. You know, fantastic.
A divisive character, but, you know, I quite liked him anyway.
And again, Derek, El Hadj Diouf, if we're talking about the media, I remember going on holiday, being in Glasgow Airport, early hours of the morning, just after the transfer day, deadline day, in the back page of the Daily Record. No, or was it the front page of the Daily Record? Rangers have signed the most hated man in world football. That was their headline when Rangers signed El Hadj Diouf.
They weren't far wrong, to be honest.
The most hated man in world football was their headline, or something to that effect. And I was trying to rack my brains when I saw the headline, and he certainly wasn't the player that I thought that they were maybe talking about, you know, but that's what they said. Right, sorry, I interrupted you there, mate. On you go.
They changed there, eh? Anyway, yes. He was interviewed a short time ago, and he came out and called Lennon a dickhead.
Better watch what we're saying here, mate.
How? He's only stating a fact. Anyway, the best line is, he actually literally did call him a dickhead, and his quote here was, "I didn't know Neil Lennon, but I saw his face and I've always hated him." Brilliant.
There's nothing like being honest, eh?
Yep.
Absolutely. But aye, El Hadj Diouf, just always remember him standing when we won the league, doing the Bruni with his hands behind his ears. Absolutely brilliant. It's as I say, he wasn't a great player for Rangers. He scored, I always remember the goal that he scored when we played in Europe was an absolute peach of the header that he scored when we were away in Europe, and that wasn't an outstanding player for us, but he was still a decent player and a good addition and a bit of a masterstroke, I think, by Walter Smith at that point, by bringing him in. So yeah. He'll always be fondly remembered by the Rangers fans there, and that's quality.
Yep. apparently Rangers have banned beards in the youth academy. Banned, right. Beards. I don't know if it's trying to obviously say it or just a standards thing, but campaigners called the Beard Liberation Front are calling for the ban to be lifted.
And the youth team, mate. I mean, what are you talking about in the youth team? How old are they all? Surely if it's the youth team, they can't grow a fucking beard if they're in the youth team.
I'm fucking 30 and I can't grow a beard.
Exactly. I don't know what age group they're talking about, but there can't be much. It must be bum fluff rather than a beard.
Exactly. But our next story here, there's a game in Italy, Bologna versus Empoli. Former Middlesbrough and current Bologna player Massimo Macaroni.
Yep.
He scored a goal, runs to the crowd, grabs a fan's pint, takes a swig, and then rejoins the match.
That is quality. That's something you would expect in Gaza today if they were allowed to do if the fans had been allowed to drink in Scotland. Right. I mean, that is definitely a Gaza type celebration. That's quality.
And the best, it is, it went to two each, and he ended up scoring another goal, which was the winner, and they won 3-2.
See, again, in Gaza's footsteps, he'd gone in at half time and drinking two whiskies and then coming out and winning the match for Rangers. Eh? It's one of these things. Yeah. Derek, there's something I've just remembered when we're talking about the Rangers youth team there, and I've got a confession to make. I watched Rangers a few weeks ago and I was actually cheering on the opposition.
What?
That's the honest truth. I'll tell you a story. As you know, my wee boy plays football for his local youth team, and we got a message from his coach on the Thursday night asking if he would be available to represent Clyde Football Club at a tournament in Glasgow, and it turned out that they were going to be playing against the Rangers youth team, the Celtic youth team, the Partick Thistle youth team, and the Queen's Park youth team. And so it was a big thing for him because there was a big squad of boys and he was one of the boys that got selected to play for Clyde. And now, as Derek, you know, he's only 9 years old. He's an average height, maybe a bit too taller for nine. And when we turned up, we realised that all the laddies that he was playing against were all 11 and 12-year old. And we seen all the Celtic and Rangers boys came out and there was a laddie that was playing for Celtic, a black boy that was playing for Celtic. And he was taller than I was. And we looked at all our laddies who are all 9 year old against all these laddies who were all massive. And we thought, oh shit, they're going to get absolutely freaking annihilated here. And we sat and we watched them. And they got beat in every match they played in. But three of the matches was really quite a close run thing and they played really well. They went to play Rangers and the score was into double figures for the Rangers team. They were absolutely sensational, the young laddies for the Rangers Academy. I've never seen anything like it. The passing and movement for them was unbelievable. And the wee guy that we've got in goals is a phenomenal goalkeeper. And the amount of saves that he pulled off and they still got annihilated was unreal. And the scary thing about it was that they got absolutely annihilated by Rangers. They then went on to play Partick Thistle and they only got beat by one goal in that game. And Rangers were playing Celtic in that match, and Celtic actually beat Rangers about 5-1. And we thought, shit, we've still got Celtic to play in the last game. And they played Celtic in the last game, and it was only 3-1 a Celtic final score. So, tremendous performance by the laddies who were all at least 2-3 years younger than all of these boys. They played absolutely brilliant. And my wee laddie had a fucking awesome game against Celtic. And I got stuck into them big time. And I told him that before he goes out. I says, don't be intimidated by the fact that they're bigger than you. Use your weight, use your shoulders. And he was outstanding. And he was barging him off the ball. He was keeping a hold of the ball in midfield. His passing was brilliant. And the wee laddie for his team, who's in his class at school, is a wee boy called Flynn. It was him that scored the goal. And I went up to him at the end of the game. I said, Flynn, wee man, you're my hero. And he went, how? I says, because I've been dreaming all my life about scoring into Celtic and you've actually done it. So he was absolutely delighted. But that's my confession, Derek. I was actually cheering on the opposition against Rangers. It's the first time in my life that's ever happened. And some of the Rangers players' dads that were all there, that were all big Rangers fans, I was telling them the same thing. I said, I never thought I'd ever be cheering against Rangers. And they were all laughing. So that was that. That's my confession. Hopefully it'll never happen again, mate.
Superb, I'll let you away with that one. As long as your laddie never signs for Celtic.
Derek, do you really think that would ever happen, mate?
I don't know, modern dads these days.
Don't think so, somehow. If he was good enough to play for Celtic, he would be good enough to play for another one of the big teams. That's the way I see it. Right.
So, well, yep, good luck to him as well.
Yes.
Right, we've got a few kind of funny, half-serious funny stories here. Barcelona's Sergi Guardiola sacked of over-offensive tweets.
Okay.
Must have been the stuff of dreams to join Barcelona, yet within hours of signing for the club's reserve team, forward Sergi Guardiola was sacked after officials were alerted to offensive tweets he had posted 2 years ago about Barcelona and Catalonia.
Great, aye, that's one way to endear yourself to the supporters, eh?
That must have been gutting, eh? Litex Lovcek expelled from Bulgarian league over protest. Basically, they were unhappy at the refereeing decisions in Saturday's match against Levski Sofia. This was obviously quite a while ago. I pulled this story up.
Yep.
Basically, the players left the field after a second red card and a penalty against them. So the team's been kicked out, and they've also been fined about £7,500.
Oof. And are they kicked out of the league altogether, or are they playing in a lower league? Or
I've no idea, actually. That doesn't actually go into say.
Because if they were playing Levski Sofia, then that'll be the top league.
No.
So there you go.
But crazy that.
Yep.
Going into more Italian news here. Lazio star Lukic has finger chopped off in freak training accident.
Okay.
His Bosnian winger. Still not clear how the accident occurred, but he was taken to a clinic following the accident in the gym during today's training session. He's undergone surgery to reconstruct his
finger. Fuck's sake, right?
God knows what happened here.
Exactly.
A bit of a strange one here. Huddersfield Town become the first team to offer dedicated fans a club-themed funeral plan.
What?
Supporters who sign up for a package get a coffin in the team colours, a death notice in the matchday programme, and their ashes scattered on the pitch.
That's great. A death notice in the programme. So there's going to be births and marriages in the programme as well. They're obviously can't be much to fill these programmes that they're having to do things like that.
No. next one. Punter cashes out £40,000 on a 20p bet and the accumulator went on to lose. Christmas came early for the lucky punter after he decided not to let his £40,000 cash winnings ride on one final match, and what a decision that was. It was always one of the toughest decisions of the weekend. Is it time to cash out or not? The anonymous bettor, who is in his 30s, opted to cash out on Saturday's flutter, turning 20 pence into just under 40 grand in the process.
Yep.
Understandably, with just Newcastle versus Aston Villa remaining on his bet, which he placed with BetVictor, he chose to cash out and run with the money and not let it ride on the late kickoff.
Yep.
He had predicted that Aston Villa would win the match, and it turned out to be one each.
Oh, so how much did they win in total then?
It was 40 grand.
So he must have been on for what? Maybe about 80 to 100 grand in total then, aye. If it was maybe 2-1 on or something like that.
Must have been, aye. So this was the full bet. Aston Villa, he beat Newcastle 16-5. Or 5, although you're going to say the odds, because I always say Crystal Palace to win 2-1 at Stoke, 12-1. Norwich City to beat Manchester United, 15-2. Bournemouth to win 2-1 at West Brom, 12-1. Leicester to win at Everton and both teams to score 92. Tottenham to win 2-0 at Southampton, 15-1. And over 2.5 goals in Chelsea versus Sunderland, which is 20-24.
So if that bet was, did you say 16-5? So that's what, about 3-1. So he would have been on for about 120 grand in total.
Yeah.
So if he's betted, I came up. But as I say, 40 grand for 20p's, no bad, eh?
Ah, pretty good, eh? Can't argue with that one.
Exactly.
Right, next one here. It's funny that you had a spider as well. Because, let's see, Marko Arnautović might be a bad boy in the pitch, but he goes weak at the knees when it comes to spiders.
Is this a Stoke player?
Yes, Stoke City star tarnished with his tough guy reputation after calling club officials in a panic when he and his girlfriend had discovered the arachnid in his bath.
What a big monster.
Player liaison officer Curtis Hughes, son of first team boss Mark, received the late night call as panicked Arnautović asked for Rent-A-Kill to come over and his eight-legged nemesis.
What a big fucking monster, eh?
Oh, brilliant. Right, getting off kind of football news here. I don't know if, right, so, but, you know, we like our strange stories and funny stories.
Right.
I don't know which this kind of comes in, a bit sad, a bit strange, a bit funny.
Right.
Man dies while trying to blow up condom machine with homemade bomb.
Right, go for it.
The 29-year-old who died in hospital after being hit in the head with some shrapnel has been hit by trying to steal coins in the side of the machine. What kind of shrapnel was it?
Was it rubber? So he was trying to steal money out of a condom machine, basically.
Basically, yeah.
Oh my god.
The young man died on Christmas Eve after a condom machine that was he was trying to break into blew up in his face.
You're determined to get Christmas into this story somehow, mate.
Ah, it was Christmas.
Oh, dear, that was funny. Right, there you go.
And that kind of rounds it up.
Why well, would last Christmas and, fuck it, I'm not going to do it. Right, okay.
And the last story I've got here... Playboy Mansion is yours for £200 million.
Yeah, I've seen that.
But Hugh Hefner has to live there until he dies.
Exactly. No bad, eh?
Aye.
I know. I seen that, but I take it if you pay the £200 million, do you get all the women that stay in it as well?
I don't know, but you get an old wrinkly man. So.
Aye, what about Hugh Hefner? Oh dearie dear, right, where you go.
Right, so that kind of rounds it up for this episode, this very extended episode.
Well, that's only 2 hours and 6 minutes, mate. That's actually, we've actually recorded a hell of a lot longer before. Right,
so that about rounds it up for this very extended edition of the podcast.
Yes, it's been fun, Derek.
That sounded very scripted. Yes! I'm shitting on a sheet of something.
Yes! Anyone for tennis?
Anyone for tennis?
Is that Arnold Schwarzenegger, mate? Didn't do it. Just, no, didn't he? I shouldn't have said that.
No. I can't do it. I'll just put a sound clip here, man.
You should, I dare you. He get the sound clip of him going, put the cookie down!
Put the cookie down!
Put that cookie down!
Jeez, fucking identical.
I thought that was Rolf Harris.
No, there's no one there.
Right. Is that us then?
On that note.
On that note.
Yes, so just to say thanks for keeping with us. We know it's been a long time coming, so we are going to try, as we keep saying every episode, to get it out a wee bit sooner, the podcast that is.
Always the same, mate. Always the same old jokes. Aye, okay.
Obviously just keep up to date on Twitter with us and keep up to date on our Facebook page. We think we're going to basically take down the website. We're not getting the traffic that the time merits to put in to try and update it. And I know it's very behind in its updates, so it will still be up for the next wee while. Again, that's the website that is. So
yep.
Just to say that's that, unless anybody comes up with any objections, then it's coming down.
Yeah, and like you said, everybody... keep up to date with us on Twitter. See your verbal battles with Tom English, as you know, you like to do a wee bit of tweet sparring with him every now and again. It's I'll be lying in my bed and all as I see your Twitter gone out of control with the amount of tweets going back and forward between you and him and the amount of slagging off that gets done and whatnot. So it's always good for a laugh. So keep up to date with us on Twitter. We're on that a lot. And some of the other podcasts out there. We welcome the Chase and the Heart and Hand guys as well. Always good to listening to them, and it's good that we all you know, give each other wee shouts out in that as well for the Rangers podcasting world.
Yes.
We keep talking about trying to get a big pod organised with everybody. We'll have to try and get it done at some point. I think it'd be a good laugh.
Yeah, absolutely. So on that note, just one last wee shout out to the guy who goes by the handle at Falkirk Bear, absolutely top goalie of a Celtic fan the other day there.
It was funny.
Tommy, I'll give you a wee salute as well because you're probably listening, but you're that obsessed. So
I know it was hilarious. It really was.
So it's thanks very much for listening and good night.
Yes, take care, folks, and follow.
Bye.
Thank you.